ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिस्सह कलौ नश्रदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः. This is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 20. And today we're going to discuss text number 36. We're continuing our discussion of the rainy season and autumn, one of the most beautiful poetic sections of the Bhagavatam. Very nice. Each verse is better than the last one, it seems. So today is also the disappearance anniversary of Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, one of the major acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And it's the appearance day of Ganga Mata Goswamini, very saintly woman, a resident of Jagannath Puri. We'll talk about them. Today is also the celebration of Ganga Puja. In other words, this is the day that the Ganga came to earth through the hard, long efforts of Maharaj Sagar and all of his descendants, ultimately Bhagirathi. It's a long story, very long story. It's a lesson, actually, in determination and patience, since these are things that Rupa Goswami advises us all to cultivate in order to succeed in bhakti. That's why these lessons are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How many generations did it take to bring the Ganga to this planet? At least five. Sagar Maharaj, then, Asamanjasana, Angshuman, Dilip, finally Bhagirathi. And tens of thousands of persons died in that process. Is that their success in devotional service? You cannot judge things so easily. We say, phalena parichiyate. It's not so easy all the time to see. Somebody gave his, 60,000 people gave their lives in trying to bring the Ganga to this earth for us to bathe, especially in Mayapur today and elsewhere. Wherever the Ganga flows especially, devotees are celebrating with great elan, very enthusiastically worshipping the Ganga, remembering the Ganga, offering prayers to the Ganga, bathing in the Ganga, of course, glorifying Ganga, Devi Maheshwari Bhagavati Gange. So Shankaracharya wrote many prayers in glorification of the Ganga, and so many acharyas. So today is the day the Ganga appeared. Actually, 10 days they celebrate, all the way from Amavasya to the 10th day. Tomorrow is Ekadashi, today is the 10th. So, long, long story. We don't really have time to get into it all, unfortunately. But we should mention it at least. Now, early in the 17th century, late 16th century, early 17th century, or 18th century, sorry, we had a situation in Gaudiya Sampradaya, especially in Jaipur, Gauta, where many pundits did not accept the validity of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because you don't find Gaudiya Sampradaya necessarily mentioned in the Shastra. So all these Bengalis especially, who tend towards Shaktism, they all suddenly started worshipping Radharani along with Krishna. And so conservative pundits at that time, they were like, what is this? Where is this in Shastra? And it's true, you don't find so much mention in Shastra. Even Hari Bhakti Vilas, Gopal Bhakta Goswami, does not really give regulations for worshipping Radha Krishna. He's talking about Lakshmi Narayana. That was the environment then. Conservative. It's actually helpful to be conservative sometimes, because even we know theologically that when we are not on the platform of being able to approach Radha and Krishna due to being conditioned souls, which usually means offensive souls, even sinful souls. This is always the public manifestation of bhakti. We should know this and not forget it. So this is why the Shastras are written in that way. This is why the conservative pundits are like that. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, you could argue very strongly that Srila Prabhupada did not establish in any institutional sense Raghanuga Bhakti, but he was very focused on establishing Vaidhi Bhakti within ISKCON. One can argue that for sure. Especially after 1970, when Prabhupada finally had a solid center in the form of Nudwarka, Los Angeles Temple, he really started focusing on what he called boiling the milk, taking those devotees who were just raw and very enthusiastic and very sincere, but immature, and training them how to be actually proper devotees. This is the same purpose for which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami to compile a guidebook of Vaishnava Smriti or Vaishnava Sadachar in the first place. So devotees were not worshipping Radha Krishna in a public way. It was an internal process before that time. So in order to answer to this objection from the pundits, especially Ramanandi pundits in Jaipur at that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very old, and it was difficult for him to travel and deal with these things. So he deputed his younger disciple, Baladev Vidyabhushan, to do this. So, along with the criticism of worship of Radharani in deity form, there was also the more general criticism that the Gaudiya Sampradaya is dubious to begin with. They don't even have a commentary on Brahma Sutra. It's a traditional convention that if you don't have your own commentary on the Brahma Sutra and cannot trace your lineage through initiation to one of the four sampradayas that are mentioned in the Padma Purana, what are those four sampradayas? Sri Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya. They're represented respectively by the Ramanuja, Acharya, Vaishnavas, Madhva Sampradaya is coming from Brahma, Kumar Sampradaya is represented by Nimbarka, Rudra Sampradaya later was fortified by Vishnu Swami and much later by Vallabhacharya. And even this Brahma Madhva Sampradaya was also accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who accepted Ishwarapuri as his guru, nominally. So despite that, they insisted that no, this is the standard and you have to uphold that. There's validity in that. Devotees should be aware of what the Brahma Sutra is, if not what it says, because this is the root of authority for the Srimad Bhagavatam, believe it or not. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a commentary on the Brahma Sutra. So, Brahma Sutra Padeshcheva Hetumadbhir Vinishchitai, Krishna himself sets this example in Bhagavad Gita, wherein he says that persons who are bona fide, they quote from the Vedanta and from the Upanishads. That's why the Gita itself is called Gita Upanishad, because Krishna is paraphrasing, if not directly quoting, so many texts that are there in the Shrutis. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So Balaji Vidyabhushan accepted this challenge, and he wrote his Govinda Bhashya. Some say there are two versions of the same commentary. One he wrote overnight, another one he took a little longer. We don't know about this. But Balaji Vidyabhushan has given the dates, say, well, the whole of the 18th century, essentially. Dates are always a problem in South Asian history. But these are traditional dates given for him. So he wrote many books, many important books. The most well-known, to which Srila Prabhupada dedicates his own Bhaktivedanta purports to Bhagavad Gita as it is, that is Govinda Bhashya, written by the grace and in front of the Govinda deity in Jaipur, to establish the Gaudiya Sampradaya as one of the four Sampradayas. He wrote Aishwarya Kadambini. He wrote Prameya Ratnavali. So many books like this. He wrote commentaries on, some say, several Upanishads, but at least we still have his commentary on the Ishupanishad. We also have his commentary on the Tattva Sandarbha. Gopi Puranadana Prabhu wrote his own edition of the Tattva Sandarbha using Balaji Vidyabhushan's commentary as the basis for his own. So, in this way, many important books that Balaji Vidyabhushan wrote. He, according to oral tradition, he is from Orissa, originally around Remuna somewhere, and he was initially initiated into the Madhva Vaishnava Sampradaya, which makes sense because Madhvacharya himself made disciples in that part of the country. So, but then he met with Radha Damodar Deva, one devotee in the, I believe he was in the Rasikananda Thakura line, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and he was familiarized with Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and very impressed by Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching, so much so that he took initiation into the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and later he came to Vrindavan and he studied under the tutelage of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And then after that, of course, he wrote his first work, they say, is his Brahma Sutra Bhashya, Govinda Bhashya, and then so many works after that. So this is Balaji Vidyabhushan. About 100 years later, about 100 years earlier, was one princess of rich Zamindar, who was actually king, Narayana of Putia in modern-day Bangladesh, Rajshahi district. Her name was Shachi Devi, and from her very birth, as with all pure devotees, right from birth, she showed only devotion for Krishna, so much so that she wasn't interested in getting married. Nowadays, girls are not interested in getting married also, but not out of love of Krishna. So, in general, that's the case. So, but she was special. She had genuine devotion for Krishna, so much so that she didn't want anything material. She didn't want to enter into deal with samsara at all. And she refused, actually, to marry. After her father left this world, she also just basically gave the kingdom to somebody competent and came to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, she was determined to find a bona fide spiritual master. It's not easy to find a bona fide spiritual master. You can find so many spiritual masters who are expert in taking away your money, but you cannot find so many spiritual masters who can take away your misery or your anarthas. So she was looking, and she found Sri Haridas Pandit, who's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 8, Texts 59, 60, right around there. All wonderful qualities this devotee had. He was himself a disciple of Anantacharya, head priest of the Govindaji temple at that time. So she took initiation from this Haridas Pandit, and she started to execute very strict bhajan. She was rising early. She would sleep on the Yamuna's bank. Can you imagine? Raise your hand if you do this every night. Do you sleep on the Yamuna shore? No. We can't. That's why we can't imitate great exalted Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis like Ganga Mata Goswami. And she was ready to see Govinda's Mangalarati. She would circumambulate all the Leelas Thalis of Vrindavan Dham. And she was completely free of any false ego. She was totally austere, which is very rare. In Los Angeles, they still have what they call a Brahmacharini ashram. We have this phenomenon in ISKCON, at least in the West. And on occasion, I have had the occasion to go inside there. And I've seen it's very different than the Brahmachari ashram, because it has to be. It's not so easy to be renounced. A real brahmachari, it's not so easy thing, and especially for women. It doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen. I've not seen it. But she was like this, and she was just wearing torn cloths, just like the Goswamis, and she was begging, and people were just amazed at her austerity and renunciation and devotion. So her spiritual master advised her to associate with another very advanced devotee, disciple of his, Lakshmi Priya. And they would circumambulate Govardhan Hill, they would worship Krishna. Now at one point her spiritual master gave her the order, you come to Jagannath Puri and you renovate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. By this time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house had fallen into some degree of disrepair. It's right on the bank of what they call Shweta Ganga tank, near Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And that became later known as Ganga Mata Mart. We'll describe that story quickly, but she was worshipping deities there. And one day at Ganga Sagar Mela, all of her friends were going to the Ganga, just like our friends are going to Mayapur. Kirtan Mela, let's go. So they were saying, inviting her to go there, but she had taken this Kshetra Sannyas. I'm not going to leave the holy Dham. So she could not leave Jagannath Puri. But she very strongly desired to go there, out of pure devotion. And so Jagannath made an arrangement that at night he came to her in a dream and said, bathe in the Shweta Ganga tank, and you will have your desire fulfilled to bathe in the Ganga. So she did that. When she entered the water, suddenly it turned into Ganga, and all of her friends were there, and all the devotees are chanting Hari Bol, everyone is taking bath, making a big commotion. And the water of this Shweta Ganga tank just overflowed its bank and filled up the temple of Jagannath. And she was carried in the current of this water into the temple of Jagannath. And people heard this going on. Although they couldn't see it, but they heard this commotion coming from inside the temple. So the king was notified, of course. He's the chief of all affairs, temple-wise. And the guards, everybody, it was decided we have to enter the temple and see what's going on here. Maybe there are some thieves or something. So they went inside the temple. They unlocked everything, went inside. That in itself is a big ritual in Jagannath Puri, if you know about how that temple functions. It's not so easy thing. But they did this. And they found only this lady there. Nothing else, just her. So they thought, what is this? They thought maybe she's stealing something, so they imprisoned her, basically. Now, meanwhile, Jagannath came and told the king in his dream that, no, this is not right. She's a great devotee. I made my tank flood over to fill the temple like this, just so that she could come to the temple. I wanted to bathe her feet myself, Jagannath says. So after this, all the devotees were very sobered by this. She's not an ordinary woman. And in fact, she began to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and she became very popular doing that. And so much so that the king and many others actually took initiation from her. In rare circumstances, that happens. So this is the story of Ganga Mata Goswamini. From that point on, the king offered money to renovate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house because he knew that she wanted to do that. She, for herself, only needed some little prasadam. That's what she asked him for when he offered so much. But she decided that I have this order to fulfill and the king is ready, so let me accept what he's offering. She did that. And since that time, it's called Ganga Mata Mat. one of the major mats, actually, in Jagannath Puri to this day. So today is her appearance day also. All right, so we should speak on Bhagavatam now. 10th canto, chapter 20, text 36. Giriyo mumuchastoyam vachinnamamuchashivam yatha jnanamritam kale jnanino dadate nava giriyo mumuchastoyam vachinnamamuchashivam yatha jnanamritam kale jnanino dadate nava giriyo mumuchastoyam kvachinnamumuchushivam yatha jnanamritam kale jnanino dadate nava. Giriyo mumuchastoyam kvachinnamumuchushivam yatha jnanamritam kale jnanino dadate nava. Ladies, stoyam kvachinnamumuchushivam jnanamritam kale virayaha, the mountains, mumuchuhu, released, toyam, their water. Yesterday we were hearing how many words we have for water. Sanskrit is so nice like this. Nira is a Sanskrit word. Telugu also they say Niru. Nobody says Niru in Hindi, I think. Very good. Rail near, that's it. So, all right, so toyam. Kwachit. Sometimes. Na. Mumuchuhu. They did not release. Shivam. Pure. Yatha. Just as. Jnana. Of transcendental knowledge. Amritam, the nectar. Kale, at the appropriate time. Jnaninaha, experts in spiritual knowledge. Dadate, bestow. Nava, or not. Translation. During this season, the mountains sometimes released their pure water and sometimes did not. Just as experts in transcendental science sometimes give the nectar of transcendental knowledge and sometimes do not. Please repeat. During this season, the mountains sometimes release their pure water and sometimes did not. Just as experts in transcendental science sometimes give the nectar of transcendental knowledge and sometimes do not. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Servants ki jai. The first part of this chapter described the rainy season and the second part has been dealing with the autumn season, which begins when the rain stops. During the rainy season, water always flows from the mountains. But during the autumn, the water sometimes flows and sometimes does not. Similarly, great saintly teachers sometimes speak expansively on spiritual knowledge, and sometimes they're silent. The self-realized soul is closely in touch with the Supreme Soul, and according to his desires, a competent spiritual scientist may or may not describe the absolute truth, depending on the specific circumstances. Om Jnana Timarantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukam Kuruli Vachalam Pangam Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpatarupyascha Kripasindhubhyayacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Madhgavira Bhigopala Svinkuryat Kripayayadi Tadaiva Sanpaya Pihtva Rishya Yustat Priyojanaha.
So this chapter is dealing first with the rainy season and then with the autumn season. And this verse is also dealing first with the rainy season and then with the autumn season, because it's been pointed out in the purport, during the rainy season the water always flows, and during the autumn season sometimes it flows but sometimes it doesn't. And the comparison is to the saintly teachers. Sometimes they speak on the absolute truth at great length, sometimes they don't. One can ask why this is. Girya iti ayam bhava na hipadhyaya karma vidyam eva jnanino jnanamrtam sarvato virantyapi tu kripaya kvachit eva evam gireha shivam nirmalam toyam kvachin mumuchuhu kvachin na napunaha pravrishiva sarvata iti. This is Sri Goswami's comment. He says, in mentioning mountains, this is simply the nature of mountains. Unlike teachers of ordinary mundane knowledge, even jnanis bestow the nectar of wisdom to everyone, but only sometimes by their mercy. Likewise, mountains sometimes release pure water, shivam, and sometimes not. They don't always do as in the rainy season. This is the idea. His commentator, Vamshidhara, says that Sri Goswami has mentioned ayam bhava. This is their nature. In case someone might ask, well, why don't they give to everyone all the time? This is, especially for a soft-hearted devotee, this is the thing that we're also wondering. We're supposed to be compassionate. Why we don't give all the time? So here it said, with the word api, he says that even though they're jnanis, they're not like teachers of shastras other than Vedanta, who teach karmic knowledge to anyone, anytime. The idea is that they give freely, as in the rainy season, as when it's raining, but not always. Sanatana Goswami gives a little bit more idea about this. He suggests, at least, that sometimes great souls give the highest jnana about the glory of devotional service, because what else can be nectarine about knowledge? It's pretty dry. But the nectar derived from knowledge is what Krishna himself suggests in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 19, which someone will quote for me. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. That is the nectar of knowledge. That the inspiration that, yes, I should surrender to Krishna. Because only when you start to open the bottle and taste the honey of devotional service, then you can actually relish this sweetness or this nectar. So this is what we mean by jnanamrtam. So sometimes they're giving this, but sometimes they don't. Why? To some people, they only give atma-jnana, just knowledge of the self. You're spiritual, you have an identity beyond matter, neti-neti, just like the Upanishads. Jiva Goswami suggests, in this verse, they've explained the reason behind that mercy. It's understood that the teacher gives mercy because of the good qualities of the student. Patra sadgunyam. If the disciple or the student is highly qualified, then the teacher feels confident. I can give everything that this person will understand, this person will assimilate, this person will apply it also. Because it's a process. It's not just data. Storing data. It's not that if you have enough memory, it's a process. That makes it an austerity, according to Ramanujacharya and everybody else who comments on Vita Raga Paya Krodha Manmaya Mamupashata Bahovo Jnana Tapasa. Why is Jnana austerity? Because first of all, you have to accumulate it. That's not easy to do. Brahmachari Gurukale Vasandantan Gurodhitam Ityadi. We heard again yesterday. You have to be austere, you have to be submissive, you have to serve the spiritual master. This is what Viraghavacharya in his commentary on today's verse suggests. Why they give, why sometimes they don't give? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena saivaya. He quotes that verse. If you adopt this attitude of rendering service to the teacher, then the teacher is kindly disposed. If you don't render service and inquire submissively, then what are you going to get? Even you render service, but you're not inquiring submissively, means opening the Bhagavad Gita as it is and hearing, then you're also not going to get anything for it. You have to do both. And he says this is the reason that sometimes they bestow. It's not a question even of their kindness or compassion, but it's a question of the receptivity of the student. So, the Acharya is commenting on Jnana Tapasa. They say, first of all, you have to accumulate that knowledge. Then, once you have that knowledge, with knowledge comes responsibility. At that point, what do you have to do? You have to make a choice. And sometimes the choice is not really what the mind would rather do or what the senses are demanding, isn't it? That's why it's not so easy thing to lead an exemplary life like Ganga Mata Goswami or Baladevi Dabhushan or any of these great devotees. It's not so easy thing. We've discovered, or we're in the process of discovering, hopefully, unless we're really covered. And then we're just oblivious. So, and then, even if you can do those two things, you can accumulate knowledge by the proper process, you can actually assimilate that knowledge, means you correctly understand everything without misinterpreting or filtering it through your contaminated mind and desires. Then what do you have to do? Then you have to share it with others. And that cannot be an easy task, especially in 2022. It's very difficult. Marxism, there's no problem. Hedonism, no problem. Sinful life, no problem. Easy. But to convince someone to utilize his rare human form and give it up, like we heard yesterday, that's not so easy thing. You have to convince them. You're hardly convinced yourself. What are you going to do? See? So jnana is an austerity, and jnanamritam is the result of that austerity. So it's a process. So sometimes these devotees are giving the nectar of jnana, sometimes they're not, depending on the qualifications, Jiva Goswami says, of the disciple. So, even mountains release water into the channels of rivers like Ganga and Yamuna, but not into small rivulets, because small rivulets get dispersed very easily, they don't continue. The mountains at times release water, and the jnanis release knowledge in order that it may be received. The focus is on the release rather than on the recipient. In this verse, we're talking about when they give, when they don't give. But the recipients, the requirements for the recipient, that has not been mentioned until Jiva Goswami has enlightened us. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Jnanamritam here refers to the teachings about the Supreme Lord, and Jnanina means those in devotional wisdom, such as, he names three of them, Narad Muni. Narad Muni. And who else? Bharata Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj. They gave. Narad Muni gave to a hunter. Bharata Maharaj gave to Rahugrana, someone who offended him. And Prahlad gave to the children of all the demons. So they're giving. And you may wonder, how is the recipient going to be qualified here? But they're giving. They did. He mentions it here. Why does he mention it? They give to those fortunate souls who desire to know. And it is to be understood that here there's no scope for judging the reason behind the good quality of the recipients. We can't really judge people. We can't even judge ourselves. Especially ourselves, we should not try to judge. We can't. We can't really judge anyone, actually. So there's no... And he mentions here specifically, because of the inconceivability of their mercy, which is declared to have equal, be possessed of equal vision and freedom from false, you know, bodily designations. That is the nature of the great souls. It's inconceivable. Prabhupada used to like to quote this poem from, who was it? Shakespeare, I believe it was. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth from heaven as if a gentle rain. Causeless mercy, we talk about. Now, Balaji Vidyabhushan has commented here as well. But with this idea of mountains, he says, acharyas only give spiritual knowledge to those qualified, not just anywhere, anytime. In this way, mountains sometimes give pure water, sometimes do not. So says the author of Vedanta Sutra. Anavishkurvam anvayat. This is from Vedanta Sutra, third book, chapter 4, text number 50, I think it is. Which says exactly this, that a teacher shouldn't reveal knowledge to those who are unqualified. The same thing we find, one of the other commentators has mentioned, in Bhagavad Gita. Where do we find this? In Bhagavad Gita. Where does Krishna say you should not give this knowledge to someone? In chapter 18. Is it text 57? Yeah, Natapaskaya. This is the idea. Many places. You read through the Vedic literatures, it's a good idea to open them up sometimes and read through them. If you do so, then you'll see that this is a very standard idea. Nothing controversial here. Nadatavyam, nadatavyam, nadatavyam kadachanaha. Gopala Sahasranama says. Should not be shared with anybody. Especially a rascal. Lampataya visheshataha. Especially a lampata. Or, you know, anybody who's a rascal. So this is not new. So, but karmic teachings, by contrast, it's given very freely, just like water comes everywhere. Water falls on the ocean, water falls on the stone, water falls in the city where there's nothing to be cultivated through that water. Semen of the Supreme Lord, water. It's the source of all life. But sometimes it seems that it just doesn't seem to have a purpose. Therefore we say that the mercy is actually inconceivable. So, now, we're talking about the rainy season and the mercy of the devotees. But for the devotees, for the pure devotees, especially devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, because he's really giving out Audarya Bhava. Srila Prabhupada, I mean to say, Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada and anyone representing them. These devotees are always in rainy season mode. They're always giving mercy. Tava kathamartam tapta jivanam, because they can see the parched lives of these poor people who have no spiritual understanding. You could have been born in North Korea. Where's your Krishna consciousness in that case? You don't even get a chance in some places on this earth. So we're so fortunate. And not only human birth, not only those of you fortunate enough to have been born here, but we're in Vrindavan. And we're hearing from, of all persons, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Chidagopad. Ki Jai! And we have all these books that Srila Prabhupada worked so hard just to make available for us, half a century later. Even those of us who never met him, we have his full mercy in the form of the full set. Now you can get a full set, half price. You see, what is his name? Rupa Shrestha Prabhu? This is ongoing offer. This is Audarya on steroids. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is like this, and his devotees are also in this mood of giving. Rainy season. What does the rainy season mean? What are so many things in poetry and in tradition we hear about the rainy season. Rainy season is also the time for what? What is accentuated in the rainy season? In poetry especially. Viraha Bhava. Viraha Bhava. This also is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, the pure devotees at least, it's always rainy season for them. One Vraj poet says, for us it's always rainy season. Ever since you went away to Mathura, you promised to come back in a few days, but it's, how is it rainy season? The tears are running down our eyes, in between our breasts, wetting our cholis, and you know, we have no rest. Srimati Radharani, after Krishna went to Mathura, she never rested again. How she didn't die? Nobody can understand this. But she's not completely soaking wet all the time, because she's so hot, feeling the pain of separation, that all the tears dry instantly. This is described in so many places. So this is one way in which it's always rainy season for the devotees, but more immediately for us at least, even as Vaidhi Sadhakas, it's always rainy season for us in that we have the order on our heads, just as the descendants of Sagar Maharaj were ordered to bring the Ganga to this world, no matter what it took to do that. So we're also ordered. You make each and every person in this world Krishna conscious. Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janma Jar Janma Sharthakari Koropar Upakar. That's the first order. Two orders actually. First order is become Krishna conscious. Janma Sarthakari. Once you are Krishna conscious, then you can actually do something for anybody else. Don't try to serve others unless you actually can do something for them. And you can't unless you're Krishna conscious. So Koropar Upakar. And how do you serve others? Jare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amar agnyai guru hai tare desh. Wherever you are, deliver that place. Here we're in India. It's a little easier here. Bow down to those devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness right now in Lebanon. Economy is in shatters. No government. Or, you know, other places also. Kiev, not having an easy time in Ukraine right now also. And they're preaching Krishna consciousness still. We've seen the videos. So we bow down to those devotees, and when they come here, we try to humbly serve them and do whatever we can to, as conduits to the mercy of our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, represent the Holy Dham, mainly in our lives. And in this way, we also become such full clouds, as we heard yesterday, that we can give everything away. What was the word used? I think sarvasvam, everything they give. Sarvasvam hitva. So that is Srila Prabhupada, and that is the instruction for us. Samsara davana ladidha loka tranaya karunya ghana ghana tvam. Praptasya kalyana gunanavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. Like a mercy cloud, just ready to burst with mercy and inundate all those parched places and people and lives that have been bereft of the nectar of Gyan. the nectar of pure devotional service. This we have to become. So sometimes great souls may be quiet, sometimes even our acharyas are quiet. They don't comment on every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So many places you see Jiva Goswami, he's not said something about the Bhagavatam. So this is inconceivable to us. We need not question it. This is the point of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, in which he says that Girinam Chaswabhava Evayam Achintitvan Natri Yuktir Yojaniya Patra Sadgun Yadir Hetutve Tesham Tulya Darshitvam Tat Kripayascha Nirubadhitvam Vyahratam Syat. If it's true what we hear, and of course it is true, that the acharyas are equal in their vision and always compassionate, then we don't have any position to question why sometimes they give instructions at length and sometimes they don't. Okay, so there's a lot more we can say, but the time has run out now. If there's any questions or any comments, anyone can mention. Are you raising your hand or no? Okay, no questions. So thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.